Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to conclude our studies on the subject, the saving ministry of the Lord. And once again, for the last time, we're going to read in that fourth chapter of Luke our theme portion of Scripture. We read in verse 16, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord,'" which subject we're going to deal with today. "And he closed the book, and gave it to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" And we've mentioned it before, and we'll read it again from the book of Isaiah itself. "This was written about our Lord Jesus Christ 7 centuries before he came into this world." Now, you will notice, in during our studies, that the first subject that he deals with is saving us from our sins. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. He was here for that purpose. "The Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And then this last verse deals with accepting that gospel. And it has a very strong gospel accent. "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The Lord is reachable. He's available. And he wants us to know that. Now, we're going to read that from the text of Isaiah, the way Isaiah records this about our Lord Jesus Christ, those many centuries ago. "The Spirit of the Lord upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God." Now, he did not read that in the synagogue at Nazareth. "The day of vengeance of our God." And then he says, "to comfort all that mourn." And we took that subject, healing the brokenhearted. It was a part of our ministry to us. Now, you notice between the two subjects where he deals with our sins, preaches the gospel to us, and then makes himself available that we might receive him. Between those two, he deals with the vicissitudes of life. And he deals with broken hearts. And he deals with the captivity of sin. And we know from the 6th chapter of Romans that it is a master and keeps us in captivity, or would indeed do that to the Christian, but he doesn't need to resign himself to being captive to sin. And then recovering of sight to the blind, he saves us. He keeps us, he delivers us from blindness, spiritual blindness. And he, in his ministry here, he delivered so many people from their physical blindness at all. A wonderful picture of deliverance from spiritual blindness. And then just set at liberty them that are bruised. When the problems of life simply overwhelm us. Now let's think, if you will, please, about the fact that the Lord does not complete this quotation. Had he completed it, about the fact that, and to declare the day of the vengeance of our God, and that was not his ministry then. He was here to save mankind. But the time is coming, and we'll be getting into this later in the study. The time is coming when our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come as the reigning king, and he is going to put down the rebellion of men in this world. And it'll be no longer the gentle Jesus. He will be the Lamb of God from whom they will flee. We'll read about it a little later, and we'll deal with it about it a little later. Now, the Lord wanted, even in Nazareth, to make himself available to anyone who wanted to receive him. And he has made himself available ever since. We read the first, they must see their need of him. And that's true in the scripture. We will not appreciate the fact that Christ died for our sins until we realize in the fullest sense that we are sinners and that those sins are going to keep us out of heaven. If we don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he died for those sins. God didn't set aside his holiness in the matter of our salvation. God must punish sin with death. But in his great grace and love to you and me, he gave his son to die our death, if you please. And the Lord Jesus Christ died that death on Calvary. Now he wants us to receive him. But he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's from the ninth chapter of Matthew, verse 13. When Matthew was saved, Levi, as he's called in one of the Gospels, but Matthew, when he was saved, when the Lord called him, rather, to his ministry, he made a great feast. He had the Lord as his guest, and he invited the publicans and the sinners. And the Pharisees came along, too. And they made a great point of the fact that the Lord was receiving publicans and sinners, as if to say, why couldn't he receive us? Well, I'll tell you, they didn't realize their need of the Lord. I am not come to call the righteous, the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's what he is in this world for. And sometimes I think the dear unsaved get a little bit tired of us, emphasizing the fact that they're sinners. But I'm telling you, we don't have to do it. The Word of God does it. And we should never do it as if it originates with us. We're not casting stones at anybody on this broadcast. And we should not cast stones at anybody in our lives. But we must preach the scriptures. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that sin will keep us out of heaven. Now we must see that, and we will not appreciate the death of Christ until we realize how desperately we need it. Now, Christ is in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is working through the redeemed to win souls to Christ. We read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we see how plainly we are put into the responsible position, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you wish to follow it in the scriptures. And he shows us, the Apostle Paul, through the Spirit of God, shows us our part in accomplishing salvation and helping people today to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to begin reading verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Christ is no longer here, but he's working through his people. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. He's not here. Be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's our portfolio. That's our message to the dear unsaved. I'm going to read that verse again. It's one of the most beautiful verses in all the scriptures. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now notice what the next verse says, or the next chapter, verse 1 of the next chapter. We then, because of what we've just read, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the time of the fulfillment of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ when he says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He's receiving people. And we're here for that purpose. And we want people to know that they can be saved positively and go to heaven because God declares that when they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved. The Philippian jailer told Paul, asked Paul and Silas, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they told him, just straight out, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And that's a promise of God. And God does not go back on his promises. Now, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. 1 Peter 2 and 12 tells us that very thing in the scriptures. 1 Peter 2:21, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers," they don't like Christians, "that they may behold your good works, which they shall behold, and glorify God in the day of visitation when God visits them." I believe in my own heart that God visits everybody. He gives everybody a chance to be saved. And he comes to us. He may come to us through the death of a loved one at a time of stress like that, or after an automobile accident, or so many periods in life with which we cannot cope. And he comes to us at that time and tells us, "You need me, and I want you to accept me." We read in that wonderful portion of Scripture, Revelation 3 and 20. Oh, I love this verse. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and he will sup with him, and he with me." Do you notice here that the Lord is the aggressor? He's standing at our heart's door, and he's knocking, and he says, "I want to come in." Are we going to keep him out? This is the day of visitation. This is the day that the Lord's talking about. He visits us by the power of the Holy Spirit of God and makes us realize, first of all, that we need the Savior, and then that he's available. The day of his acceptation, it's here now. And we can be saved through simple trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. But the time is coming. We read of this in Revelation chapter 6, and I'm not going to be able to go into it. We read there of the fear that's going to fill the hearts of men when they see the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to cry out, they're going to hide themselves in the caves from the wrath of the Lamb. But we don't need to experience that. We just can take him now as our Savior. May the Spirit of God lead us to that decision. Father, we thank you for the wondrous ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his own fearless and precious name, amen.